Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
And welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Mike Crute is off for the day. I'm the co-devil host, Dominic Salvia. Thank you for joining us. And I am super happy in this happy hour to introduce our friend, the godfather of progressive talk, Bill Press. You can find him at BillPressPods.com. Bill, it's been too long, man. Welcome back.
Hey, Dom, good to see you. Yeah, welcome back to you, too. Hey, what? So, the godfather. There are a lot of people who would dispute that title, but thank you. Hey, what is it? You know, I've been to Madison several times. What is that bridge in the background? I've never seen that bridge.
Oh, this is in Milwaukee. So, that's the Hone Bridge in Milwaukee. I broadcast out of Milwaukee. Crudy broadcasts out of Madison. Sometimes we're on Walker's show. We all got lots of studios, man. This media mogul that Crudy's turning into, man. We're all over the place now, Bill.
Hey. We got Madison, we got Milwaukee, we got Washington, D.C. right here.
Right? Right, and we got Minneapolis, we got Chicago. Man, we are growing. We got California. We're all over the place, Bill. So it's a joy to be with you again, my friend. We've been talking about, of course, this tragedy, another mass shooting. 1.7 mass shootings per day in this country, Bill. And this one in the Chicago suburbs of Highland Park, some jackass gets an automatic or a weapon and gets on top of a building and just starts pecking off innocent civilians, Bill. And we get the usual thoughts and prayers. And literally, like Darren Bailey, he's the GOP mega gubernatorial candidate in Illinois, he comes on and says, well, you know, this is terrible. 90 minutes after the people are shot, 90 minutes, an hour and a half, sends out a live feed on his Facebook to his 111,000 followers saying, oh, it's tragic. Pray for the people and law enforcement, and time to move on and celebrate the 4th. Mm-hmm. Bill, what's your take on how the Republicans continually seemingly just dismiss these mass shootings?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, it is so sad. The idea, the 4th of July of all days, right? Yeah. You know, a small town, take your kids out, get the picnic chairs out, you know, get the cooler and this nut on top of a building starts firing down into the crowd. It is so tragic. But, you know, at the same time, hate to be cynical, but this is America. I mean, what would the 4th of July be like in America without a mass shooting?
It's almost perfect.
In a terrible way, almost perfect. And what does it tell us? The message is so loud and clear. And these so many idiots just don't get it. By the way, I was glad to see Governor Pritzker out there and said, everybody's going to say now's not the time to talk about guns. Now is the perfect time to talk about guns. It is. It's the only time. And yet, you saw what happened after Buffalo. You saw what happened after Uvalde even. This gang of Republican senators just down the street from me, right? They couldn't even bring themselves to raising the minimum age to buy one of these assault weapons from 18 to 21, right? You can't walk in a beer in Texas, walk in a bar in Texas and buy a beer at 18. Right. You can walk into a gun store and buy an AR-15. It is such bullshit. Sorry, but it is. It is a bullshit piece of legislation that they passed that basically does nothing, really. I mean, I know it's the most that the Democrats could get the Republicans to agree to, but I don't know what it's going to take, and I don't know what it's going to take for the American people to stand up and say, our kids are better than this. They're worth more than this. Our lives are worth more than this. Yeah. We have to do something.
It's going to, I mean, it's going to take one of them getting shot, or it's going to take one of their, you know, some sooner or later, someone that they care about is going to be impacted by gun violence, right? I mean, if you're talking about 1.7 mass shootings a day, let alone all the other, you know, not mass shootings, you know, only two or three people shot all over this country. I mean, we have more guns than people in this country. And Bill, what's your take? The thought that if somehow that all of a sudden we as a country decided, you know, we're not going to let these particular weapons of mass destruction be allowed to be sold on a retail where you get your bowling shoes and your Nikes, you can go pick up your AR-15. We're not going to allow that anymore. We have a certain class, these types of things. We're going to pare it down, right? And people just lose their freaking minds over that, Bill. And I'm thinking, well, you can't get a Tommy gun. You can't get a howitzer, you know, system. You can't get a jet. You know, if you're talking about taking down a tyrannical government, well, why don't you just do what Trump did? You know, try a soft coup. But you're not going to beat the military of this country with your AR-15.
It makes no sense at all. And by the way, what makes it even more dangerous now is this Clarence Thomas Supreme Court, which came out with this latest ruling, which is really, I mean, look, we can spend too much time on this. I just wrote an op-ed piece that got a lot of flack because I wrote it for CNN, by the way. This was the CNN website. Repeal the Second Amendment. Stop debating it. Nobody's ever going to agree that it says the little bit that it says, right? Which is if you're part of a militia, which by the way, in those days were patrols, white supremacists, white nationalists, if you will, white supremacist patrols to keep the slaves in their place. That's what those militia were. And you could have a gun in your closet, in your house, nothing about self-defense in the Second Amendment. That only came with the Heller decision, which was, what, 1997, I think, or something, that Scalia wrote. And now the Supreme Court has taken the Thomas Court one step farther and said, that Second Amendment, whereby you could keep that rifle in your house if you were a white guy hunting down slaves, now that means you can carry your gun anywhere you want, any gun you want, anytime you want. It's nuts. And they're just getting started, right? Yeah, like you, I don't know what it's going to take. I think I hate to make this just political, but one thing it's going to take is vote these damn Republicans out of office and put some people in there who will make some Republicans or Democrats, by the way, who will make some are willing have the balls to make some good, sensible, common sense decisions about gun safety.
Oh, Drill down on that briefly, Bill. If you repeal the Second Amendment, that does not mean that you do not. I mean, does that mean that nobody has a weapon, or does that mean you just no longer have the constitutional right, quote unquote, to arms? How do you see that flowing through?
Well, when I say repeal the Second Amendment, I mean sort of included in that is replace it with something which makes sense for the 21st century.
Right. Right.
Okay. Yeah, you want to go hunt Bambi? Well, that's your choice.
Yeah, but the weapons that they're getting to hunt people with, they're not going to use to hunt Bambi with because you're not going to get any meat out of it. I mean, it's just total destruction. It is meant to kill and maim, period.
Let me tell you, if the combination of this gun decision by the Supreme Court and the abortion decision by the Supreme Court don't motivate...
Yeah.
Let me add one thing. And the announcement by Clarence Thomas that his next goal is to take the rights away from LGBTQ Americans who fought for that, who have been fighting for all of us, fighting for those rights, you know, for the last 50 more years.
Well, and don't forget about the contraception. But one thing Clarence Thomas didn't have a problem with was interracial marriage, Bill.
I wonder why.
Strange how that works. Yeah.
So what I mean, if the combination of those three things, the abortion, the guns, and coming after the LGBTQ community, if that doesn't motivate young people to get out and vote in November. You know what? We're screwed.
Yeah.
And we deserve the mess that we're in.
We deserve the government we get, Bill, and it's not great right now. So hopefully we can all do a little bit better. Bill Press from the BillPressPods.com, friend of the Devil's Advocates. Bill, thanks for coming around, man. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You got something more on this issue? Okay. I know we got a few more minutes in this segment, but yeah. you got some time to stick around for a segment or two beyond this, Bill? Okay, awesome. I want to get into some good news. You know, we've been talking about these terrible tragedies, and at 1.7 mass shootings a day, we could do an entire show only on mass shootings every single day. Yeah. So let's talk about perhaps some areas where we might get some justice. Fulton County in Georgia, the DA has the grand jury. This is under the supervision of a judge. So this is not a political issue. Has now issued subpoenas. Subpoenas for Giuliani, Rudy Giuliani, the attorney, and a whole bunch of others, including Senator Lindsey Graham, a senator getting subpoenaed by the Fulton County Grand Jury, along with Kenneth Cheeseborough, John Eastman, Jenna Ellis, and Cleta Mitchell, you know, this fine stack of attorneys that Trump surrounded himself with. It seems like this, I got to tell you, while I'm certainly appreciative of what J6 is doing and the testimony of Cassidy Hutchison last week was compelling. But these state charges, I think, and this state grand jury might be the quickest route to some justice. We've got a few minutes left in this segment. Bill, what are your thoughts?
Let me tell you, Fulton County, go Fulton County, right? What's amazing is that Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani, I wouldn't put Lindsey Graham in that case, but in that camp, but that Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump are still out of jail, and John Eastman are still out of jail. And the most legal trouble I think they're in is in Georgia, because this investigation is under, there is no doubt. We got the evidence. We heard the tape. They tried to get the Georgia election officials to commit a federal crime. Their fingerprints are all over it. Now, you know, I think Lindsey Graham, I'm not a big fan, but I don't think he was that as directly involved, but he certainly said some statements that supported what they were doing, which is why he's on the list. But this is trouble. And here's my question, and we'll leave it at this. We'll pick it up in the next if you want. My question is, why is Fulton County so red hot to go after Donald Trump, and Merrick Garland is sitting on his ass and letting Donald Trump get away with destroying our democracy? I thought trying to overthrow the United States government was a federal crime, at least a freaking misdemeanor.
BillPressPods.com. Hold that thought, and I'll have an answer for you on the other side. You can join us as well, 844-967-2789. Come back with our pal Bill Press.
I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal Bill Press from BillPressPods.com sticking around for at least another segment. Bill, appreciate you doing so. Let's talk briefly about Merrick Garland. I mean, we've seen this Fulton County grand jury in Georgia going after some of people around Trump. And your criticism, and I think to some degree, is there that the Garland is not doing what Fawny Willis has been doing, and he's sitting on his ass. Well, I kind of thought like that for a while, but I'm starting to think maybe not, man. Maybe he's actually got a buttoned up crew. I mean, when he got into the DOJ, first of all, he had to stop the bleeding. I mean, what that place was a disaster after Barr, right? And all the things, all the, so there's lots of issues there. And then you get this thing dropped in your lap, right? And now you got to go through the process. So let alone of the, you know, 800 people and still several hundred apparently still not charged that they're looking for, going through that process. We know there's grand juries impaneled at least to look at some of these false fraudulent elector issues, right? So they're out there. They went and got Eastman's phone the other day, right? I mean, so as some of this information comes out, we see that the DOJ itself is actually, you know, following through. I'm with you. I perhaps think maybe it's not enough. I'd like to see it go faster. But I'm under the impression that the DOJ is not going to let this thing slide, Bill.
I hope you're right. I am somewhat encouraged by the fact that Merrick Garland gave a speech, remember, about a year ago, where he said, we're going to follow the facts, we're going to follow the truth, no matter where it leads, no matter how high it goes. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But it's been a year. It's been 2 years that he's there. Where's the beef, I guess, is my question. I have interviewed at least three members of the January 6th committee. And I ask each of them if they have any evidence or any knowledge that Merrick Garland is conducting his own. The first question is, are they going to make criminal referrals to the Department of Justice? Now, they can. They can't do anything themselves.
Well, unless Cheney came out over the weekend and seemed to imply or at least said that, there could be more than one.
Yes. Good for Lynn Cheney, right? Yeah. So they can, and she implied that they're certainly, they talked about it, I know, but they have not made that decision, and they may not. They may just issue a report. But the second question is, do they think that Merrick Garland, I've asked three of them, is conducting his own parallel investigation using the information that they're putting out there? Not one of the three said they saw any sign of that at all. Now, Zoe Lofgren, who's one of the ones I talked to, said that was appropriate, that we should not know what the Justice Department is doing.
Right.
Conducting a, but let me tell you, the clock is running, Dom. That's my problem. And now people are saying Trump is planning on announcing, right, early, maybe this month, maybe next month for 2024. And then Merrick Garland can't go after him because everybody's going to say, oh, it's political, right? He's a candidate now. You can't. And so he's, again, politicizing the Justice Department, which is rich, by the way, after Donald Trump turned the Justice Department and Bill Barr into his private lackey, right, and private attorney. But I think Garland is afraid of criticizing that he is making it too political. We have a president of the United States. It's worse than we thought, particularly after, as you mentioned, that testimony last week by Cassidy Hutchinson. He summoned these people here. He knew they were armed. He sent them to the United States Capitol with their firearms to take on members of Congress, and he tried to join them himself. Hello? I mean,
right. That seems somewhat problematic, right? I mean, that's probably not a great thing, right? And don't forget, you know, get rid of the mags, get rid of the metal detectors on top of it, right? Here, this thing, Bill, and again, I maybe we disagree on to the extent, and I'm hoping, and I'm a pessimist, but I try to be an optimist, Bill, that he's buttoned down, he's got a bead, and he's gonna do what he's gotta do. And he's gonna be damned no matter what he does, right? He's gonna be called political if he does or doesn't. You know, he's gonna be called a wimp if he doesn't, he's gonna be political if he does. But I gotta believe that if we do not, as a country, right, through our justice system, investigate. I mean, maybe there's some exculpatory evidence we haven't seen yet, right? Because this is all a bunch of Republicans who worked for Trump and were appointed by Trump testifying against him, which seemingly Trump and all the other MAGAs seem to forget about, Bill. That we must, because obviously if this gets by, if you can get away with doing this, then everybody's going to do it, Bill.
Look, we know that indicting a former president of the United States is a big freaking deal, right? I mean, that is huge.
Yes.
And we should not do it. We should not do it lightly. I don't think in this case it would be done lightly. But we have to realize, too, this is the first former president of the United States who has tried to tear down our democracy and is still trying to do it. So you can't just say, oh, former presidents have to be, you know, kind of let off the hook. Nobody's ever tried to destroy this country the way Donald Trump is. And it was wrong in the Civil War. It was wrong when the British burned Washington. It's wrong when Donald Trump tried to burn it down.
Do you see it, the trend line, though? Obviously, going after the people that actually charged the Capitol, you're going after the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. They do have some negotiation. They do have some willing witnesses that are working with them in that regard. We know about the Willard Hotel War Room. We know, according to Cassidy Hutchison, the Chief of Staff Meadows wanted to, you know, go in the room and hang out with the fellas and plan on that day. I mean, there's just so very much evidence. It would be really hard to believe that the DOJ isn't over every single step of it.
I think he has to do it for the sake of the country before November 4th or whatever the election day is. So everybody knows this guy is a criminal, or at least facing criminal charges.
He is a criminal. I'll say it, Bill. Bill Press, BillPressPods.com. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for hanging out, Bill. Always a pleasure to speak with you. Look forward to hanging out with you again real soon.
All right. You guys are the greatest. Anytime. See you later.
Thank you, Bill. See you, man. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates, coming back with your calls at 844-967-2789. We will be right back.
You're under arrest, Trump.
Do it now.
Come on! Do it now!
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are open. Join us at 844-967-2789. I want to thank our friend, Bill Press, BillPressPods.com, for joining us. Bill is a super cool cat, and that guy's been around, and he is very dialed in. I always, always appreciate Bill's perspective, even if I think Merrick Garland's doing maybe more than he thinks he's doing. But I love the pressure. Keep the pressure on the DOJ, because if any of us did any of that, I would expect the hammer to come down pretty quickly. And if the hammer doesn't, then what are we doing? You know, if it's all about, well, I can't win in the courts, and if I can't win in the election, and I can't win in the courts, well, then I'm going to try to win by what? Taking it to the streets? I mean, that's, you know, antithetical to what this great experiment is. That's why we have, you know, elected bodies. That's why we have three separate but equal branches of government. That's why we have an opportunity for a person who loses an election to make their case, to go to court, to fight like hell for every vote. But if you lose 61 out of 62 cases, and the one case you won, what, didn't count votes that weren't counted anyway? You know what I mean? You lost. So I don't believe that Trump believes that he lost the election. I believe that Trump believes that he doesn't care if he lost the election. He wants to remain in power. He needs that shield. He needs that Office of Legal Counsel's memorandum, which I absolutely disagree with. Another issue we should take away, that a sitting president cannot be charged criminally for acts while they're in office. I think that's a bunch of BS. I mean, you can compartmentalize anything. You got a team. You got a staff. Go handle it. I mean, the way they drag these things out anyway, why give somebody a shield? And that's just a memo. It's just a thought. I mean, how you can, what, act like a king while you're president, but as soon as you're not president anymore, then the hammer's going to come down? Oh, unless, of course, you run up the statute of limitations like he did with the obstruction of justice charges so eloquently defined in the Mueller report. We haven't seen the unredacted one yet. But, man, don't even get me going. So, thank you, Bill Press and Garland, DOJ. Come on, get it together, man. Some news that we talked about from NBCNews.com. We mentioned Liz Cheney over the weekend. I wanted to hit a couple of points here to kind of reinforce that we are moving forward in this regard. Peter Nicholas from July 3rd, the House January 6th committee members said Sunday that they may make criminal referrals to federal prosecutors involving former President Donald Trump in his efforts to overturn the election. Fanning out on Sunday programs to discuss the congressional investigation and its public hearings, I must confess, I wasn't watching Sunday shows this weekend. It's a holiday weekend, man. The committee members said that while no formal decision has been made, they can envision multiple referrals to the Justice Department based on evidence they've uncovered investigating the events surrounding the attack on the U.S. Capitol. You think? Rep. Liz Cheney, the vice chair and one of two Republicans on the panel, said we'll make a decision as a committee about whether to alert the Justice Department to possible crimes it uncovered. The Justice Department doesn't have to wait for the committee to make a criminal referral, and there could be more than one criminal referral, she said on ABC's This Week. More than one? Oh, tell me more. She also pointed to the explosive public hearing last week in which Cassidy Hutchinson, the former aide to Mark Meadows, when he was in the White House, when he was the White House chief of staff, detailed outbursts of rage from Trump on the day he urged supporters to march to the Capitol. "I don't effing care that they have weapons," Trump said as he urged aides to remove the mags near the White House before he addressed a Stop the Steal rally. "They're not here to hurt me." I mean, what's the implication? They're not here to hurt me.
Yeah.
They're here to hurt other people,
but
Mike
also
Pence?
That you knew their intent, that you assumed that it doesn't matter. The guy's just gonna, he's a fifth grader that fell asleep in history class, was bored with it, and then got mad that he got a D. So is rather than trying to learn history and do better, he's trying to ruin the history teacher's life. So
burn it all down. Burn, right? It all by down. Laws, burn it all down.
Well, and I wonder. And I think you got that quote wrong. I think he said,
"Catch up on the wall."
Yeah. Cheney went on to say, quote, "It's very chilling, and I think we will, you know, continue to present to the American people what we found." Asked whether she was worried about prosecuting a former president who may soon announce another presidential bid in 2024, Cheney said, "I have greater concern about what it would mean if people weren't held accountable for what's happened here." And I think that's my point. I mean, you know what I mean? We have to, and again, it seems really weird saying this and coming from me, who's so not me, but we have to rely on these institutions. I mean, that is the point, because if we do not, then we are literally fighting in the streets. And I don't want to fight in the streets. We've done that, right? That's why we have the basis for our government. That's why we have these institutions. And, you know, all these institutions are made up of individual people, and we are flawed human beings, and we all have, you know, our own issues that we take to our table. We try to leave it at the door, and maybe if you're a bureaucrat, or maybe if you're a radio talk show host, or maybe if you're an elected official, you have different motivations, right? We all have whatever it is that is in our head and through our journey in life, and we bring the baggage and the positive with us. So it's not like it's all going to be perfect. It's never going to be. There's no perfect, but it's better than most. And in order to remain better than most, we need to engage those things and engage and embrace our institutions. One other issue that didn't come up during our conversation with Bill Press that it's still in my head and I cannot get it out. And it is the Pentagon's role in all of this. Remember, Christopher Miller was assigned to head of the Pentagon under Trump after Trump lost the election. And Christopher Miller put out a memo prior to the January 6th coup attempt as to how the National Guard should address and approach and deal with the Trump supporters that are going to be there. Basically handcuffed them. Above and beyond that, Charles Flynn, Mike Flynn's brother, you know, QAnon Mike Flynn, you know, Mike Flynn who lied about talking to the Russians to the FBI, Mike Flynn who was charged and convicted, Mike Flynn who was pardoned by the president. Well, his brother, Mike Flynn, also obviously a lieutenant general or, you know, some bigwig in the military, you know, he's still a QAnon freak. Doesn't, you know, just because you made something of yourself in that regard apparently doesn't shield you from the asinine nature of conspiracies. And don't get me wrong, I'm an X-Files fan. I love a good conspiracy. But come on, really? Really? The Democratic Party is a bunch of Satan-worshipping, blood-sucking, child-molesting groomers? And I think there's something to do with Mars in there as well. I can't even.
Lock her up.
Yeah, that guy. Well, his brother was in the room when the Pentagon and Army were talking about what was going on. The 187 minutes. Nothing happened for 187 minutes. I mean, Donald Trump had that. I mean, the cops were out in riot gear when Black Lives Matters came down to D.C. Hell, they took him down to the shock room, right? They took him down to the safe room. When that happened, of course, he'll deny it, but that's the reporting. But for some reason, when all these people came down there and they were already storming on the Capitol, he was still giving his speech. He wasn't afraid. He was saying, take the mags away, take the metal detectors away, let them come in here. We saw, we played a clip last week during his speech. You know, when he had the glass in front of him, which is also very strange. I've seen Trump give a dozen speeches live, maybe more. He never had the bulletproof glass thing in front of him. But this time he did. Oh, let him in. If all those people in the back could please let him forward, let him come in, let him come in. I mean, he said it like three or four times during his speech.
That's the thoughts and prayers glass.
Is that what it was? So Charles Flynn was in the room on the call, and the Army denied it like three times. They denied it three times, and they finally admitted it, but said, yeah, you know, no big deal, and then basically referred back to their final statement on it, saying they have nothing more to offer. Now, Charles Flynn, to my understanding, has been promoted within the military structure over at the Pentagon. I don't know, keep your friends close, your enemies closer, maybe, but we got a real big problem. I have a real big problem with what that looks like. You got a civilian. I mean, Christopher Miller was not of the Pentagon. He was not of Army stock. He was put in there by Trump after he lost the election. So I know I believe he may have testified. I'm not clear. I have to look that up. But I know it's been touched on, but it hasn't been, researched to the degree that I think it needs. I mean, when you talk about, it's one thing to talk about the National Guard and not call the National Guard. It's one thing to even, you know, talk about the executive branch. But you're talking about the Pentagon, man. I mean, if the Pentagon gets politicized to the degree that the Justice Department did under the executive branch, under Trump, you know, that is a very, very scary perspective. And that is something that needs to be taken with deadly seriousness. And the fact that they lied about his involvement in the phone calls when that was all going down during the 187 minutes that Trump didn't do anything. You know, remember 187 on the undercover cop? Remember the songs, right, folks? That was a 187 on this country. Donald Trump tried to murder this country because he lost an election. They did a 187. The guy was gone for 187 minutes, didn't do jack. You see the reporting, you see the tape, and now you got the documentarian, you know, his raw footage. I'm just saying, you know, if you're gonna be involved in a coup, maybe don't record the whole thing. Maybe leave some room for ambiguity there. But it would be so just and so righteous if Donald Trump's own narcissism and his family's own narcissism were the exact thing to bring them down. That would be supremely righteous.
It would be exactly a Greek tragedy, because that is that is hubris to the nth degree, my friends.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Anyway, back to the NBC News. Sorry about my little rant there, but what was hell was going on at the Pentagon, and how the hell is the cavalry not coming, man?
What I can tell you about the Pentagon and what I know is the Pentagon is a god that needs all of the money, trillions and trillions of dollars of money, or if we stop that money, we will all die instantly.
that's exactly how the Republicans certainly
feel. That's why we worship that god.
Well, maybe you should give him a little more money for some investigations. Come on. Remember Pulp Fiction? Winston Wolfe? Come on. That's all you had to say. Bring on Winston Wolfe, man. Solve the problem. But when you have Mike Flynn's brother, and again, it's terrible. If it wasn't Mike Flynn's brother, right, that's one thing. They didn't lie about his involvement in the call, that's another. There's just all these little things. If Christopher Miller wasn't installed at the head of the Pentagon after Trump lost and put out this memo to the National Guard about how to, you know, handle Trump supporters with kid gloves. You know, all these things, they're all circumstantial, no doubt. But you got to be kidding me. I mean, how is that not a major focus of somebody's investigation? I mean, there's so many little bits and pieces of this that it – the DOJ has got to be involved. Anyway, a little bit more from the NBCNews.com. Adam Schiff also had a quote here. regarding this. He concurred with Cheney that the committee might send multiple criminal referrals. He suggested the Justice Department would be mistaken to excuse Trump just because he's a former president. Yeah, no doubt. Here's what Schiff had to say. You know, for 4 years, the Justice Department took the position that you cannot indict a sitting president. If the department were now to take the position that you can't investigate or indict a former president, then a president becomes above the law. Hard to kill.
That
Steven Seagal.
That feeds right into the super Trump thing. That he made his foreign policy based on Sicario 2, Day of the Soldad. His speech was riddled with actual references to Sicario 2, Day of the Soldad. My point is the guy lives in a movie. That's why he thought he could grab the wheel of the SUV and somehow get himself to the place. And that's why he was so desperate to do it, because he needed to be part of the movie that he had created, but now is not. Whatever.
You know, what do they say? When someone shows you or tells you who they are, believe them. And one of the weirdest times, and I've seen Trump so many times. I'm a little scarred, because a little PTSD from Trump. But one of the first times I saw him, and I think he was still running, he wasn't president yet, and it was still in the beginning of the campaign, he came out and gave the snake poem. You know, I'm a snake, and I figure he jumps on the back of something and it swims across and it bites him, and the animal says, "Why'd you bite me?" And the snake says, "Well, I'm a snake. That's what I do." I mean, the guy literally read that. He read that in front of the crowd, verbatim. He told everybody, he told all of us exactly who he was. So let's just accept it. And let's have Merrick Garland Day. One more segment on The Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
If I'm Kurt, then I apologize. But as I understand it, we have a situation here, and time is of the essence.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. You can hardly tell that Fancy Brian and I went and saw Stone Temple Pilots this weekend, can you?
Well, you know, yeah, I'm mixing the albums up, you know, you see? That's the important
thing. I appreciate that. And I think I totally butchered the snake poem, so you can Google it. But let me tell you, just to reiterate, Donald Trump was very clear that he was the snake that would bite you and kill you. He told us that. He told everybody that. So I just, you know, want to reiterate without, you know, butchering this poem.
You remember that movie Natural Born Killers?
Oh yeah.
When they're tweaking out in the desert, and they're doing a bunch of peyote, and they're playing a Nine Inch Nails song, Something I Can Never Have. At the time, it's really, really freaky and messed up, because that whole movie is Natural Born Killer.
Yeah, totally, man, right.
But in that part of the movie, that's when one of the tribal elders tells them about the snake, and then they kill them, I believe. So,
oh,
I don't know. Natural Born Killers, they end up killing everybody, so I'm not going to be wrong.
That's really, really that, follow the movie's theme thing there.
But they do tell that story. That's how I know that.
I mean, Trump, you can't. I mean, say what you want. I mean, he's a narcissistic psychopath. But he told me that day, and I believed him ever since. 844-967-2789. Joe from Madison, Wisconsin. You're up. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
I think there's a great deal to this idea that he believes he's in a movie, and by God, he's going to win. And I think, you know, you're right on the money, both of you, with your analysis this way. For what other reason would he have to enter the Capitol in a triumphant, you know, Julius Caesar type mode, right, where he comes in and, you know, grabs control and people throw gold coins at him and, you know, bow down and tell him what a brilliant man he is? I mean, if he were a sensible narcissist mafioso guy, he'd have his minions do it. But instead, he wants to be out there and, you know, be the one. What, is he going to have a duke it out with Nancy Pelosi? You know, what, is he going to, you know, find Mike Pence and deliver the knife right under the breastbone and get to the guy?
I think, you know, Joe, that's a great point. I think if it were to happen, you know, he'd stand up at the steps somehow, some way, and all of his his white Christian nationalist fascists would round up, you know, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, and Mike Pence and bring them to the gallows one by one, because they did erect a gallows there, Joe. And Donald Trump would triumphantly give the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Are you not entertained, Joe?
Yeah, that's
Are you not entertained?
That's his movie. The problem is I'm not entertained. I'm horrified. And I honestly, it's just, if you really wanted to be successful, you'd have your little minions do it. You wouldn't be in there leading the charge, which tells you what we've been dealing with, which is a guy who's all about making statements as if he's in a movie, you know, I'm going to make Mexico build the wall. I mean, beyond all logic and reason, and that's what we've been dealing with. And it's sad to see what the effect of that is, because the Supreme Court is the result of this maniacal showboating. And boy, is it going to be, you know, a real death blow for a lot of people. So anyway, thanks for the show today. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you as well. As always, 844-967-2789. And I remember because, you know, as mentioned, I saw Trump lots of times at lots of rallies across this country. And all of a sudden, like, he just started, like, throwing it out there. Oh, we're going to build the wall. You know, another town a couple weeks later. And we're going to build the wall. Another town a month later. And we're going to build the wall. And Mexico's going to pay for it. And then the crowd reacted. Ah, yeah. Everybody was all like, oh, they're freaking out. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, make Mexico. That'll be great. That'll be great. It was so Leslie Nielsen from The Naked Gun who was calling strikes.
That's exactly where I was going, man. It's totally him. He's like,
oh, man, I love this. It's great.
Yeah. Strike. Vacuum cleaning and strike.
Yeah, it's just, we're just doomed. No, we're not doomed. We are not doomed. We will not be doomed. We will not let ourselves be doomed. That's why we coalesce together. We reach out. We hang out together. We cry on each other's shoulders. We hug each other. We laugh. We smoke. We drink. We cry. And then we get up and do it all again. But hopefully we make progress every day. We try a little harder every day. We convince somebody else another day. And I'm convinced. I am. I remain optimistic that the DOJ will do their thing. And obviously the J6 is still coming down. We're going to have more hearings, folks. You know, they started out with 8, then went back to 6, and then they had the surprise one. I would imagine we're going to have at least a couple more. And that's just on that side, let alone, don't forget Tish James, state of New York. Don't forget the Manhattan DA. I know some folks are not down on what's his name, Biggs, Alvin, I think his name is. Not necessarily moving as quickly, you know, replacing some people. That might be an issue. Obviously, we talked about Fulton County's grand jury getting closer and closer. You know, these things, unfortunately, take time, but I remain optimistic. So before the end of the show, I just got to throw this one out here. Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes running for Senate, U.S. Senate, wants to take on a bunch of other fine Democrats and then go up against Ron Johnson. But according to Bill Glauber at the Journal Sentinel, JS Online, well, he's coming under fire for comments he made a year ago about the teachings of slavery and the founding of the country. Quote, imagine being so ashamed of how we got to this place in America that you outlaw teaching it, Barnes said in apparent reference to slavery. You know, and something and things were bad, Barnes said in a video clip on August 19th in Portage, Wisconsin, that was posted on Twitter by conservative talk host Dan O'Donnell. Things were terrible, Barnes said. The founding of this nation, Awful. You know, but here we are now, and we should commit ourselves to doing everything we can to repair the harm because it still exists today. The harm, the damage, whether it was colonization or whether it was slavery, the impacts are felt today, and they're going to continue to be felt unless we address it in a meaningful way.
Shocking, Dom. Shocking.
No, hell no. Republicans are having none of it. They can't believe it. Oh, my God. What is Barnes doing? Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Oh, my goodness.
Former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, you know, who Barnes replaced when he got elected. She's running for the Republican primary for governor, called on Evers to repudiate Barnes' remarks. Mm. Evers, Governor Evers. She tweeted, I love America and our founding principles of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Evers needs to call out his lieutenant governor for these awful comments about our great nation. Unless, of course, he agrees. And Rebecca, Becky, sweetheart. I'm not going to be like that about it. Becky, you wouldn't be able to run for office back then. You weren't a man. Probably wouldn't own land. You had no rights. You couldn't vote. So what are you talking about? I mean, what, half of the founding fathers-ish owned slaves? A bunch of them? Right? You got to be a landowner. You got to be white. You couldn't. Come on. Yes, Mandela Barnes is absolutely right. James Baldwin. I love America more than any country in the world. And exactly for that reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually. Happy 4th, everyone. Thanks for listening. Curdy's back tomorrow. We're going to light them up. Never stand down. Never stand by. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks.
The one thing we know, and they do say, anybody that runs against Trump suffers.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's Enrico Palazzo!
Get over it.